You know, that testimony Reverend Wambui shared about her prayers and our prayers getting answered, I just want to put it in context. We were here at Knoxville Christian Center as members, and the prayers that we received, even for the green card, legalization and all that, I cannot tell you those days how many times I knelt here at this altar. So when I preach and tell you there is anointing here, my brother, my sister, believe it. You know, because we lived in Knoxville, so I attended all 21 days of fasting and praying, even before I ever started preaching in this revival. I did not miss a day. But every time the guest speaker came, I would always be one of the first to come here for prayers. And what Reverend Wambo is sharing is that we saw all those prayers being answered. We received our blessings right here. Right here. Amen? So I'm telling you, it's real. This gospel we are preaching, this teaching Dr. Barry Cabason is teaching in this church, it works. Amen. I can testify. I can tell you my struggles when I was doing my PhD to get scholarships for my graduate work. I would come and kneel here, and Pastor Barry would pray for me. People here would pray for me. And you know what? I got all those scholarships. I did not only get those scholarships when I finished my university education with the 5 degrees. I got my first degree in economics and business administration. I got my second degree in political science, undergraduate in political science. Then I went to seminary. I got my master's degree in theology. Then I went to Kentucky, got my second master's degree in public administration. Then I came back to University of Tennessee here. I got my PhD in political science. And all the blessings and that anointing, I believe it was as a result of my connection with this great prophet of God. Amen. And this church. When I finished my PhD, everything was paid for. I did not have a single loan. God provided. And I have never, since I entered through immigration with my student visa in America, I have never violated immigration law even one day. Because I'm a preacher, and it is true, Reverend Wambui, there are some people who cut corners, and the Lord has always told me, be faithful to God, and He will be faithful to you. And we have seen the faithfulness of God. By the way, yeah, Brother Stan, by the way, is here. Reverend Wambui was giving testimony. Can you stand up, Brother Stan? Let's appreciate him. This is a great man of God. So Wambui and I, we were members of his home group, Bible study, for many years. And we've been members of this church since 1980s. We've been together with Brother Stan. And he's here. He's been here all these years. And the others who have been here all these years. And we really do appreciate you, Brother Stan, and the great work you have done for God and the blessings you are to our family. Amen. Amen. Oh, praise God. That's a good testimony, my boy. Amen. You know, that is what we were praying for, is what we needed at this altar. But the same God who met our needs, He will meet your needs. Amen. Because that anointing is still here. Hello? Because it is not Dr. Barry Cabason who meets your needs. He is a representative of God. Okay? And when he prays for you, he connects you with that anointing that God gave him directly to the source of power. And so your needs will be answered, no matter what they are. Whether you need healing, do not get tired of coming to this altar for prayer. Whether you need a financial miracle, do not get tired of coming to this altar for prayer. Whether you need your relationship to be healed. You see, the Bible says that God is the repairer of walls. If some walls in your home, in your marriage, with your children are broken, I'm telling you, God can rebuild them right here at this altar. So as you pray, just open your heart and trust the Lord and seek Him, because our God is a miracle working God. He's a healing God. Now, I want us to do some declarations. I always do when I start preaching. Shall we all stand up on our feet for a moment? So the Bible says, you shall declare a thing and it shall be established. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So when you declare the promises of God, the devil hears it, the world hears it, but above all, God hears it. And you're also hearing it. And it's building the faith of God in you. So I want us to declare here in 2026 some things that God is going to do for you as we start this new year with the prayers and fasting and seeking the face of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So I want you to declare this, say this after me, say, I will walk in peace beyond measure in 2026. Do you believe it? Say, I will walk in happiness beyond guess. All right, I'll repeat that. I will walk in happiness beyond guess in 2026. Do you want to be happy in 2026? Do you want to have joy in your life? You do know that having joy is not an accident. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And you are declaring that the Holy Spirit will give you joy in your home. That will produce happiness upon you, your family, and your children. What you are declaring will be yours. You will walk in it. All right. So now say this. I will walk in prosperity beyond expectation in 2026. Do you believe that? Do you believe that is your portion? Hallelujah. Now declare this. I will walk in grace beyond understanding in 2026. Do you receive it? Because the grace of God brings God's favor. Amen? And I'm telling you, one favor from God can be worth more than 5 years of hard labor. We need God's favor. Now declare this. I will walk in divine health without limitations in 2026. If you believe that is your portion, give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Just remember that the Bible says that for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And we are believers. Now, let me go ahead and get into the teaching. I've been talking about the topic of expanding the kingdom of God through body ministry. Our focus has been baptism in the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in order to impact the world that God has called us to, you know, to serve in. In the book of Acts, I started sharing this yesterday, chapter 1, In verse number 4, the book of Acts, chapter 1, in verse number 4, the Bible says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. Verse number 5. For John truly baptized with water. Now, usually I say water, but I'm in Tennessee, and I know in Tennessee we don't say water. What do we say? Water. Yes, I've got it. Water. They say, for John truly baptized with water. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And I want you to make a note of those two distinctions. He said that John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Verse number 8. But you shall receive power, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And right there, Jesus is telling them the purpose for sending the Holy Spirit, for baptizing believers with the Holy Spirit. It is so that the saints can be equipped to do the work of the ministry, to be witnesses, to build God's kingdom. That you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the distinction between these two baptisms, because Jesus started by connecting the same verse, number 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Now, I have never understood why there are so many churches today that read that passage, they accept part 1, okay, to be baptized in water, but they deny being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And yet Jesus talked about both right there, that we shall be baptized after we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We get baptized in water, but it's not enough. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay, so that you can receive power to be witnesses for Christ. So John's baptism was important. Okay? And when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, let alone I learned about the importance of being baptized in water. And at one time I was attending a conference through the church where I was attending in Kenya, and we had a conference at Lake Victoria, which is one of the largest freshwater lakes in Africa, and we had a missionary that had come to minister in our church called Bob Manzano, and he's the one who baptized me at the Lake Victoria in water. Total immersion. But for me, it was so, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit first. And I was growing, then I learned, oh, water baptism is also good. So I was also baptized. So I was baptized in water later. Now you need to understand this. You can go to heaven without being baptized in water, without even being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because going to heaven The criteria is receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There are some people who are baptized in water, but they do not know and they do not walk in Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, when they die, they will go to hell. Water baptism only made them wet. It did not change their souls. You have to have faith in Jesus Christ. And you have to accept to walk in the righteousness of God. Okay? And then the baptism in the Holy Spirit is very important, because that's where you get power to overcome and to live for God victoriously in this life, and to help build the church and build the kingdom of God. So John's baptism was with human element, water. Water is a human element. It is a natural element. Water is not found in heaven. Hello? Maybe there is water in heaven. When we go to heaven, are we going to drink water? Bottled water? Dasani? I don't know. But what I know, water is a natural element, an earthly element. So when we are baptized in water, it's symbolic of the baptism, of the spiritual baptism we receive when we are born again. But Jesus Christ's baptism is different. He said, you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit, not many days hence. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, it is with a divine element. Are we together? The Holy Spirit comes from heaven, not from the earth. The Holy Spirit is not a natural element. It's a divine element. Are we together? The Holy Spirit is not from this planet. The Holy Spirit is from heaven, the dwelling of God Almighty. And when you get baptized with a divine element, a divine agent, you are lifted up to a higher level. If you're baptized only with a natural human element like water, you have not tasted of heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me tell you, when you get baptized with a divine element, the Holy Spirit, it is the power of God that comes to revolutionize and give you power in your life. So it is necessary for us to continue teaching and preaching that believers should go beyond just being baptized in water, then should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay. These two types of baptisms represented two ages. Number one, the age of promise, water. John said, the one coming after me is greater than me. The second, number two, is age of fulfillment, Holy Spirit. In John 1, verse 29, the Bible says, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. This proclamation is the pinnacle of the Old Testament revelation and the prophecy. Two events take place in Jesus' appearance. One, the program of God, or the covenant of God, moves from the Old Testament to the New Testament, meaning that the promise of God starts getting fulfilled. I do understand the people Jesus was preaching to did not understand when he read the scriptures. And then he closed the book and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to deliver the captives, and to declare the year of the Lord. And Jesus announced that this scripture is fulfilled today. Because he was the fulfillment. Who was the fulfillment? The Messiah. And he was telling them, I am the Messiah. I'm the King of Kings. And now that the King of Kings is here, the kingdom is here. Hallelujah. So the program of God moves from promise to fulfillment. The program of God moves from preparation to eschatology, or to end times. The appearance of the Messiah, the appearance of Jesus Christ, pretty much crossed us over from the Old Testament promises to the New Testament age of eschatology and times. For the last 2,000 years, we have been living in the end times. Amen? And we're getting closer and closer to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? We are living in the age of eschatology. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So that is why the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it is an initiating experience. Being filled with the Spirit is a continuing experience. I want to repeat that. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is not the end. It is an initial experience. But being filled with the Holy Spirit, it is a continuation. Are we together? So, baptism is not repetitive. Baptism is not repetitive. You are baptized once with the Holy Spirit. But being filled with the Holy Spirit is repetitive. The Lord knows. We don't live in the church. We enjoy the church when we come because there is deliverance here. There is anointing in this place. There is warmth. There is fellowship. There is koinonia. And the devil does not come in the church. He better not. Because when he comes, he will be banned, destroyed. So a lot of people, even Christians who have all those spirits, I want you to know, they usually stay away. When they come to church, there is protection of God. And there is fire of God in this place. But as soon as you get out and you go out there, they might be waiting for you. That's where we do real battle. And that's where we need the fire of God. And so, when we live in the real world, sometimes we lose our anointing because of the warfare. We go through the warfare of the family, in our marriage relationships, in our home with our relatives, with our in-laws, and then we go to work in the marketplace. Then we have struggles there. There are some people who may seek to undermine you at work. Let me tell you, the world is not a very friendly place, especially for born-again Christians. It is tough. But God has promised to work with you and for your good. But when we go out there, that's where we practice the principles of the kingdom of God, and that is where we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, baptism, the initial infilling of the Holy Spirit is not repetitive. Being filled in the Holy Spirit is repetitive, and that is why we are told we have to be part of the church in fellowship, prayers. We have to be connected because, let me tell you, when you are facing those battles there, they can be tough. But when you come to church, you are not alone. You join with community of like-minded believers. I really believe that when you pray and make a choice of where you and your family should attend church, pray for the Holy Spirit to lead you to the right church. Because you may come with burdens and problems, desiring to be set free and to find an answer. And if you are in the wrong church, you might go home with more problems. But praise God, and I'm telling you, because I've been a member of Knoxville Christian Center for so many years, but this church is different. This is the right church, because when you come with your burdens, you are not taking them back home with you. Amen. If you are willing, you have to make a choice. That's why we say we are opening the altar for prayers. Okay? If you want personal ministry, come, we'll believe with you. Because I don't have the answer, but I know somebody who has the answer. And I'm praying with you and for you, connecting you with the divine resources who will meet your answer. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the rebuilder of walls. When we come to church and we are desperate, God will meet with us. So you need to choose the church wisely. Amen? That has the power of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When your children are going through hardship, you want a place where the pastor believes in the power of God and in the power of prayers, where the church believes in the God of the Bible that works today. Because when you are facing those problems, you need an answer now. Let me tell you, some of the issues, some of the problems are so urgent that when you come to church, when you come for prayers, I'm telling you, sometimes it's good to tell God, it's me. It is Mike. I'm here. It is Joanne. God, I'm online to be touched by heaven. My case is so urgent, God. Maybe you can pass others and come to me first. God will hear you. God is able to address any urgent cases that come to him. Hallelujah. So remember, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, one, came on believers, not on non-believers. In other words, before you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you must repent and be born again first. You must be regenerated. You must enter into the family of God. You see, you cannot buy your way into the family of God. There is only one way. Only one way. To belong to the family of God. And what is that one way? You have to be born into it by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that is what Jesus told Nicodemus. That you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. So, you can only join this family by being born into it or adopted into it by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Therefore, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it is a divine agent, is fire from heaven, and it belongs to members of the family of God. And you join the family by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, repenting your sins, hallelujah, being washed by his blood, and embracing the community of faith as your family. Are we together? So that is why the Holy Spirit was poured out on believers only, not on non-believers. Number two, the Holy Spirit was poured out in situations of prayers and worship. The Holy Spirit will not come upon you when you are involved in non-spiritual matters or watching TV. You have to be in prayers or reading scriptures, being in worship. The Holy Spirit was always poured out in situations of prayers, the word, fellowship, and worship. Number three, the recipients, those who received the Holy Spirit, had to yield to God, because God will not force you to receive his gift. It's a free gift, but God will not force you to get it. That is why everyone who attends church in America, has not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Oh, did you know that? There's a lot of people who attend all kinds of churches, but they are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because those churches do not even teach or preach about it. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. Let me tell you, church, if you do not teach about baptism in the Holy Spirit, as we are teaching in this church, people will not have the faith to receive it. The reason a lot of people get baptized in water, because they teach about baptism in water. The reason a lot of people do not get divine healing, because they do not teach and preach on divine healing. I'm telling you, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Hello? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. That is why I said, choose the church your family attends wisely, because the faith you receive will determine the outcome, what you get. If you do not teach about giving and tithing and blessings, people will not receive blessings of giving. Isn't that the truth? Because faith comes by hearing. So I'm telling you, church, do not get tired of hearing the same teaching over and over and over and over. Because repetition is good. Because it brings the faith of God. Amen? And that's why we need to attend every service if we can. Every Bible study if we can. So, they yielded to God. Because it's a free gift of God, but the recipient must yield to God in order to receive. And in every situation that people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they spoke in other tongues. It was accompanied with the sign of speaking in other tongues. Okay? That is the scripture. Okay? When I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, praise God, although I did not know about it, I spoke in tongues. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the Bible says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Do you want to enjoy righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost power. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the Bible says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Hallelujah. You know, sometimes even when you do not feel like praying, but if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you start praying in the Spirit, and the Spirit will take over and start helping you and start praying with you. And the Holy Spirit will give you the breakthrough. We are human beings, and we live in the real world of work, of struggle. Okay? So sometimes you start in the flesh. But you know what? Just keep on pushing in. Keep on pushing in, and then you get in the Spirit. And you will get a breakthrough in prayers. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, let me give a little bit, context about the New Testament church and the five key principles that propelled its growth as they received baptism in the Holy Spirit. How they expanded. There were patterns that unfolded in the growth of the New Testament church, which were a part of that church by extension, And the five principles were at one. It is what is called kerygma. Number one. Number two, it is what is called ecclesia. Number three, it's a concept, again, in Greek, called koinonia. Number four is the principle of diakonia. That's, again, Greek. And number five is the concept or the principle of diaspora. So let me talk about this in turn. So, kerygma, this is the Greek word, this refers to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ with power. It is also known as apostolic preaching. And this was an important component of the New Testament church, that wherever the church gathered, there was kerygma, apostolic proclamation, teaching and preaching of the word of God. Now, it's very important that wherever we gather, in addition to worship and praise, and we need powerful praise and worship, and God has blessed Knoxville Christian Center with very powerful praise and worship team. Can we just appreciate our praise and worship team? They are really fantastic. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, but in addition to powerful worship, the church is also must have preaching. Powerful teaching of the word of God. Because that is what builds faith and foundation in believers. So they went out and they preached the gospel. They preached the word with the power of the Holy Spirit. I attended a church once where they did not believe in preaching on Sunday morning. They were saying that it's just enough to do just praise and worship, and then people go home. And that is not biblical. Amen? Worship is important because that connects us, releases the presence of God, but we need also to build people's faith. Foundation. We build that through teaching of the word of God, preaching the word of God, kerygma. Okay, let's speak Greek a little bit. Everyone say kerygma. Look, I'm a professor. When I'm preaching, sometimes I get tempted to put on my professor's hat. And one of my styles of teaching is sometimes asking students questions so that I see if they are retaining what I'm teaching them. So, kerygma. What is kerygma? Preaching the word of God. Is it preaching the word of man or the word of God? The word of God. So we must make sure that the church we are attending are preaching what? The word of God, kerygma. So you're speaking Greek. So the next concept I want us to learn is ecclesia. So everyone say ecclesia. So ecclesia of God refers to the formation of the church. And one of the things that happened after there was preaching, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came, and then kerygma took place. And then the Bible says God added to the church as many as should be saved. And when Peter preached, about 3,000 souls were added to the church. Well, the next thing was the formation of ecclesia. Ecclesia. That is the church. Do you know that before Pentecost came, we did not have a church? Now, sometimes the Bible has talked about the church in wilderness, where, you know, people met in the tent in the Old Testament. But the New Testament church, the ecclesia of God, was formed after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So, ecclesia means that believers born-again believers, baptized in the Holy Spirit or otherwise, they form the ecclesia of God. Literally, ecclesia means the called out ones out of the world. It means, although we live in the world, now that we've been born again, we are part of the church, we are part of the ecclesia of God. Ecclesia is both organic and organizational. By organic, I mean that it is the body of Christ, universal. Meaning that even we here at Knoxville Christian Center, this is a local church, what we call a local church. But we are a part of the organic body of Christ universal. Because we are joined in Jesus Christ. So when people are worshiping in Africa, who are part of that body, in Latin America, in Asia, all over the United States, we are part of that organic body. We are not alone. Are we together? Yes, we are a local church, but we are not alone. We are part of something bigger. Eh? The kingdom of God. Eh? And so ecclesia is both organic and also organization. It is formed of the community of faith or the people of God. I really believe it's very important. Once believers accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it's important for every Christian to identify a good local church where they should belong. Every Christian needs to identify himself with a particular body of believers, which is the local community church. Why? One good reason is that when you get sick, when you have an issue, a problem, you know who to call on. Isn't that the truth? But you can just call everybody in Knoxville, right? You have to be connected somewhere. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, when your children need teaching, see, we are supposed to teach our children our way of faith, our values. We teach them at home, in our home altars, but it's not enough for us to do it alone as family. We need to belong to a local church that has very strong children ministry. Pastor Dr. Cumberson, you have always done a powerful job teaching children. Is it important to have a powerful children's ministry in a local church? Yes. Okay. Because let me tell you, when those kids are with you and you can tell them to get in the car and they don't question you and you put them in the car and take them to the church you want, that is wonderful. One day they will grow up. And you try to put them in the car to take them where you want to go as parents and they will say no. I don't understand the children. Because sometimes when they become teenagers, sometimes you look at them and you wonder, are these my kids? They used to be so cute. And I'm telling you, they will look at their mother and defy the mother. They will look at their dad and defy dad. I'm encouraging you. When they are little and you can take them, where you can take them to church. And take them to church that has good children's church, good Bible teaching. But they need to be molded. Okay? And you need help. You can just do it you alone. You need a community of faith, people who share your values. Because when they go out there in the secular world does not share your values. And then, as they grow up, they start making friends. Sometimes they have friends who has parents who do not share your values. So it's important you control
who your children becomes friends with and the homes they go to visit. We do not want to lose a generation of young people. We need to teach them in the things of God. Okay? This is what ecclesia of God is about. You join the local church. You know, there are some Christians who believe in being free, floating. They say, well, they are just serving God, and they get their preaching from TV, from social media. They stay at home. And during the COVID season, people got used to staying at home. And you know, it's wonderful to watch Sunday morning service with your pajama, without having to dress up and driving to church. But let me tell you, I'm so glad that season came to an end. Because fellowship, praying the church with fellow believers is very, very important. You have to make an effort to go to church, whether it is raining, snowing, or hot, because your family needs it. Are we together? Ecclesia of God. That's where the power is. And don't bounce around a lot. Try to pray for the right church. Try to connect with it. And let me say something. Some Christians are always looking for the perfect church. Can you really actually find a perfect church where there are only perfect people? Well, somebody said, well, as soon as you join that perfect church, it will no longer be perfect. Because you are not perfect. Amen? So, yeah, you can't just be bouncing from church to church because, you know, I don't like that church, it's not perfect. No, be patient. If they are preaching the word of God, teaching the word of God. So every person in the New Testament was a member of a specific local church because it says you are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a member of the body. The value of it is when you are in need, there is somebody who can care for you and pray for you. When you are sick, you can call the pastor. In fact, in James chapter 5, the Bible says, "Is any sick among you? Let them call the elders of the church, and they shall anoint the sick with oil, and God shall raise the sick, shall heal the sick." Well, if you don't have a church, where are you going to find elders to call to come and anoint you and pray for you in your home? Are we together? So we need to be part of ecclesia of God. So, number three, so we've covered two principles. The first one was, don't tell me you have already forgotten. Kerygma. Number two, ecclesia. Are you part of ecclesia of God? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Number three, koinonia. Everyone say koinonia. So, koinonia is a Greek word that means fellowship. Okay? Those who were saved were incorporated into the fellowship or the ecclesia, but they used to gather regularly. They met regularly, breaking bread and fellowship with one another. It means that they shared everything in common. As believers, they build relationship with one another. They developed friendships. When people join the church, it is vital that they develop relationships in the church. They need to form attachments and develop those friendships across so that even when you are not attending church, you have the people you attend church with, your friends.
Okay? You can count on one another. Okay? And koinonia is an integral part of the New Testament church experience. Okay, number four, diakonia. Everyone say diakonia. Diakonia, that is D-I-A-K-O-N-I-A. Diakonia. Come on, say diakonia. Diakonia simply means ministry or service. Okay, service to Christ, service to the church was part and parcel of New Testament church. The Greek word diakonia for service is where we get our English word for deacons. Okay? Or the word minister. When you hear minister of gospel. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 2, means service, servants, or ministry to God's people. As the church increases, there is a need for diakonia or ministers or deacons, those called to serve God by serving others in the church. So actually, the word diakonia comes from the root Greek word eukaneo, E-U-K-O-N-I-O, eukaneo, which means eager to serve. It means that the people of God should be eager to serve. And what I'm driving at is that all of us as members of the church, we should find a place where we can serve in the church. No matter how little activity we are doing, we need to find our place to serve in the church. Diakonia, ministry. So now, we have covered four principles. All right, church. Okay, class. Number one. Hey, good job. Kerygma. Number two. Ecclesia. Number three. Koinonia. Number four. Diakonia. You're doing good. So if I were to give you an exam, would you get an A? All right. So the final one I want to cover for tonight, before I stop the teaching tonight. It is number five is diaspora. Diaspora or diaspora. Diaspora. Can you say diaspora? So the Greek word diaspora means scattered among nations. Scattered among nations or scattered abroad. Basically, what this meant was that ministry is to go beyond the four church walls to touch the communities where we live. It means we come to church to be equipped, to be renewed, to be rejuvenated, and then we are sent out in the diaspora, the marketplace. If we are a nurse, that is your marketplace where you minister the word of God, be a witness of Christ. If you're a medical doctor, an engineer, a professor like me, and do not hide that you are a born-again believer where you work, because you never know. If people know that you are a believer, that you are a prayer warrior, there are some people in need where you work. They will come and seek you out for prayers, and you get an opportunity to witness to them. Okay, so I work for the University of Georgia. I'm a professor, and we are not allowed to preach in the classroom. Sometimes I get tempted to preach in the class. And you can't blame me, because now I've been preaching in this revival, and next week I'm going to be teaching in the classroom. And I'm all full of joy and Holy Ghost. And I have 40 students in front of me. I'm telling you, sometimes I forget I am in a university classroom. And I started the classroom by saying, praise the Lord. And then, I'm not in the church. This is not a revival meeting. I'm a professor. So I have to remove the pastor's hat, the preacher's hat,
and put on the professor's hat. Well, the good thing with a lot of young people from South Georgia, many of them are Christians. I'm telling you, I have said that in the classroom, and I do get some amens. Instead of them running to my boss to report to me that Dr. Njoroge was preaching in the classroom, he told us, praise the Lord. And because they know I'm a preacher, when they have problems, sometimes they come to my office. They say, Dr. Njoroge, can you pray with me? I have this problem, this issue. And I pray with them. That is witnessing for Christ in the marketplace. Okay? So in the church, we come to be anointed, equipped, renewed, and we go to serve the Lord in the marketplace. That is diaspora. The motto of the Old Testament was come and see. Come to the synagogue. The motto of the New Testament church was be equipped, then go and tell. Be equipped, gather to be equipped, then dispersed for witness and the ministry in the community, in the society where you live. Shall we all stand up together?